जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज नरंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज नरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिष्यपाद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन बीबीटी संस्थापक आचार्य हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, titled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 55. 55, okay. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Swasurvadhan Nivavrte, Kamsastad Bhakya Saravit, Vasudevo Pitam Pritaha, Prashasya Pravishad Griham. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Swasurvada Nivavrte, Kamsastad Vakya Saravit, Vasudevo Pitam Pritaha, Prashasya Pravishad Griham. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Swasurvadhan Nivavrite, Kamsastad Vakya Saravit, Vasudevo Pitam Pritaha, Prashasya Pravishad Griham. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Swasurvadhan Nivavrite, Kamsastad Vakya Saravit, Vasudevo Pitam Pritaha, Prashasya Pravishad Griham. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, Swasu of his sister Devaki, Vadat from the act of killing, Nivavrite stop for the time being, Kamsaha Kamsa, Tat Vakya, the words of Vasudeva, Saravit, knowing to be perfectly correct, Vasudevaha, Vasudeva, Api, also, Tam, to him, Kamsa, Pritaha, being satisfied, Prashasya, pacifying more, Ravishad Griham, entered his own house. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued. Kamsa agreed to the logical arguments of Vasudeva, and having full faith in Vasudeva's words, he refrained from killing his sister. Vasudeva, being pleased with Kamsa, pacified him further and entered his own house. Purport. Although Kamsa was a sinful demon, he believed that Vasudeva would never deviate from his word. The character of a pure devotee like Vasudeva is such that even so great a demon as Kamsa firmly believed in his words and was satisfied. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. Bhagavatam 5.18.12. All good attributes are present in a devotee, so much so that even Kamsa believed in Vasudeva's words without a doubt. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 10, Chapter 1 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 55, in the matter of the advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Vadati Sa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sativam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitaikripa Pradayine Gaurakata Dhamadaya Nagaragrama Tharine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Paranadana Dase Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Yat Kripatamaham Bande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Viparitam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. Today, being a Sunday, we have a lot of young Vaishnavas in the audience, and I usually do not tell any stories. I mean, I do say, but very rarely. But today's purport is so interesting that my entire class will be filled with stories, and then we'll try to ascertain how to interpret those stories. So here we see that Vasudeva is being glorified by Shukadeva Goswami. You could say he is being glorified because Vasudeva was known not to deviate from his word. Now, what was the word that he gave? The word that he gave was that he would bring his children to Kamsa to be killed by them. Of course, you could say that this was diplomacy, that for the sake of protecting his wife now, he spoke something to Kamsa. But then later on we will notice that actually Vasudeva, when the children are born, he actually maintains his word and takes them to Kamsa. And Shukdeva Goswami, two verses later, he says, what is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? And there he says, so Vasudeva is even glorified for that act of taking those children to be killed, taking his own children to be killed by Kamsa. Now this is very unusual. No father can go and to maintain his word, just go and offer a child, knowing that the child is going to be killed. So if you look at mundane morality, this is something which is incomprehensible to mundane moralists. How could he never made any attempt to somehow or the other? He never hatched some conspiracy. He made no attempts. He just didn't do anything. He just directly went and gave the children to Kamsa. And Shukadeva Goswami is even glorifying this activity by saying, what is painful for saintly persons to adhere to the truth? Now, this brings up the larger context of Vedic morality, because generally morality is understood to be what is beneficial for everyone. Now there is no contradiction in this, even in this Vasudeva's act. That's what I'm trying to I will explain that there is no contradiction in morality. This is not something wrong which he did. He did the right thing. So based on our own conditionings of what is morality, and based on the fact that we know only about this life, or we only perceive this life, so our ideas of morality are completely incomplete, they are skewed, they are incorrect. So if we have to understand what is Vedic morality, Krishna actually tells a story. This is a very interesting episode in the Mahabharata. What happens is that when Yudhishthira is once wounded by Karna, and Arjuna is supposed to kill Karna, everybody knew that. But when Yudhishthira is wounded, he leaves the battlefield and goes to the camp of Yudhishthira, because his elder brother, out of concern, he goes to find out how his elder brother is. And Yudhishthira at that time, of course, he's happy to see his younger brother come to see him. But the first question that he asks was, have you finished the tasks that you set out for, which was to kill Karna? And Arjuna says, I'll take care of that later. I came to just see you because you were wounded. And then Yudhishthira says, what is the use of your Gandiva? Give up that Gandiva. Because their Krishna. But who are not do we have to resort to what the Mahajana Prabhupada Acharyas, but we have the previous through Prabhupada. So I brought this whole discussion because if you look at this whole concept of Vasudeva giving away children, so I know how difficult it could be to actually stop a child to be killed. It's something you can't even conceive of. So when Vasudeva, it said, did it unhesitatingly. So all the fathers of this world who are not Krishna conscious would have a problem with this. Now, not only all the fathers of the world who are not Krishna conscious would have a problem with this, even the fathers who are Krishna conscious but who are influenced by their previous conditioning or influenced by the morality prevailing in this world would feel shaky by this. Because today is the age of social media. So it only takes a matter of few seconds or few minutes for the whole world to know that you're so morally corrupt that you don't mind offering your child to be killed. Of course, I'm not talking of a real life situation like this, but I'm just saying the whole concept is something so abominable that it could get extensively criticized by the media. So if we are so conscious of the media, if we're so conscious of public morality, then we also may get shaken. This Krishna conscious morality, we may get shaken. So what happens? Krishna conscious fathers may also get shaken. So then what we do? Okay, no. This is by common sense. How can this happen? And the scriptures will not speak anything against common sense. Right? So we think, okay, Krishna speaks, scriptures cannot speak against common sense. Scriptures can speak only which is beneficial. Then we'll start wondering. Now, which version of Bhagavatam or which version of Mahabharata says this? Is this an authentic version or what? Or is it something which is concocted in this? Or is it not there in this? Then our mind starts finding for reasons how to reconcile this with how to pacify a mundane moralist. Our obsession becomes how to pacify a mundane moralist. How can we defend our religious, our Krishna consciousness when we have this kind of examples? So I remember there is an ISKCON scholar who thinks that the disrobing of Draupadi never took place, the attempted disrobing, because according to scripture, we know that Yudhishthira is Dharmaraj. Yudhishthira is Dharmaraj. How can he gamble away his wife? How can he, even after she is gambled, he makes no effort to protect her. So for a mundane moralist, this is something completely abominable. So what the scholar did was, even though Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahabharat, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada, and in fact in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is very clearly explained how, Haridas Thakur, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his discussions with Haridas Thakur, this disrobing of the Draupadi incident takes place. And we know that Vrindavan Das Thakur is none other than Vyasadev. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, to understand the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have to accept the authority of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So we have so much evidence that the attempted disrobing of Draupadi took place. Yet this Krishna conscious scholar found a reason how to say it did not happen. So what did he say? He says, look at the Bhagavatam. Now if you look at the Bhagavatam does not speak about the attempted disrobing of Draupadi at all. What does it speak about? It only speaks about that Dushasana touched the hair of Draupadi. That's all. So then he said, I doubt whether this incident happened. Now the problem is that Chaitanya Bhagavat says it, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami says it, Jiva Goswami says it, Prabhupada says it, and even Bilvamangal Thakur also in his Krishna Karanamrita says it. Now all the Acharyas have said it, Vrindavan Das Thakur with Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's our scripture says it. Yet, because the Bhagavatam does not mention it, therefore it is doubtful because it is more easy. How can this happen? Logically, how can this happen? How can Dharmaraj gamble away his wife? So this is what happens when we become obsessed with mundane morality. Then we try to somehow or the other try to avoid that. Okay, let's say we avoid the Draupadi problem by invoking the argument. Let's say for the sake of argument, we avoid it. But there is no way how we can avoid this particular problem of Vasudeva offering his, and this is because this is there in the Bhagavatam. This is not from Mahabharata. It is there right in the Bhagavatam that he is going and offering his child to be killed. So I asked the scholar, What do you tell, if you say Draupadi disrobing did not happen, what do you have to say about this? This Vasudeva being, I mean, going to sticking by his word and going and offering his child to be killed. Then he said, I understand Vasudeva is a problem. I haven't figured it out. Now in my mind I was thinking, this is the problem. That to say that I haven't figured it out, why do we need to figure it out? Let us accept what the Acharyas say. So this is our process. That in the process of Krishna consciousness, we are not interested in trying to figure out different things. We are interested in figuring out only one thing. What have the Acharyas said? That's all. This is the only thing which we are trying to figure out. We are not trying to figure out what the Acharyas have not said. What the Acharyas have not said, we can figure out when we attain Krishna Prema. But otherwise, we cannot. In principle, we cannot. That's all. Unless we attain the platform of Krishna Prema. It says here, unadulterated, pure devotee. Unadulterated means unalloyed. This is another word which Prabhupada used. Unalloyed. So only such a person can understand the truths of Dharma. Therefore, we should be very conscientious in our practice of Krishna conscious, that we don't fall into the different traps, because there's a lot of pressure in the way Kali Yuga evolves. There'll always be a lot of pressure. There are a lot of things which you will come up with, which is against mundane morality, which is against Shastric morality. For example, last year, the Supreme Court of India passed a ruling that it is not immoral to have a sexual relationship with someone other than one's wife. They came up with the ruling. Now, according to Shastra, this is completely immoral. Now, the resolution has just been passed. But what will happen is, over a period of time, now people may just react a little bit strongly. Some people may react at least, who got some sense of Dharma. Now, 50 years down the line, 100 years down the line, this will become very common. Then what is a person who is born into the Krishna consciousness movement or who takes the Krishna consciousness movement 100 years down the line supposed to think? Oh, we should conform to the material society. Look, this is more. How can it? Because we are so conditioned, we think this is moral. For example, sometimes people think that conscience, they say this conscience is the voice of Paramatma. We have to act according to our conscience. But it's false. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu explains, conscience is not the voice of Paramatma. Conscience is the voice of our conditioning. Because if you are conditioned in a certain manner, we believe it. For example, suppose I was born in a family of meat eaters. So until I took to Krishna consciousness, or maybe a little bit before that, because I read some spiritual books, until that, I did not think that meat eating was wrong. I just did not think like that. So this is the nature of conscience. If a person is brought up in a certain way, he will not even think something is wrong. So 100 years down the line, when all these things are so firmly entrenched in society, people living in those times, we'll find what is wrong with this. Even though scripture may say something, we'll try to find some exception. Oh, is it really scripture? Is it something from fanatical morality that scripture is talking about? What is it all this about? How is it beneficial? So, because they may say, okay, to say how it is beneficial, you can have various kinds of arguments. Oh, I'm frustrated with my wife, I need another lady. All kinds of things you can come up with. But the point is, these rational justifications cannot explain what is morality. Because Dharma tu sakshat Bhagavat pranitam. The laws of Dharma are given by Bhagavan. Now first of all, the laws of Dharma are given by Bhagavan. And how do you understand the laws of Dharma? Mahajana yena gatasya pantaha. Just because the laws are given by Krishna, Dharma tu sakshat Bhagavat pranitam, does not mean we try to understand it directly. The problem comes when we try to understand scripture directly. And the problem comes when we try to accommodate our Krishna consciousness to mundane culture. We should be always conscious of the fact that we are supposed to bring people to Krishna conscious morality. And Krishna conscious morality is always absolute. Now, we can also go the other extreme. Now, if you look at the history of ISKCON, Prabhupada said, by hook or crook, sell a book. Now, this was the most abused phrase in the history of the Krishna consciousness movement, where our devotees went around cheating different people by saying that, by hook or crook, we started cheating people of their money, or hook or crook, sell a book. Now, that was the famous sloka. Now, okay, that by hook or crook, sell a book. But Prabhupada also said, do in such a manner that you don't irritate the person. So you have to see the whole teachings of the Acharya. Not just take one thing and just say, okay, that's it. So even Prabhupada, we should be careful that we take all of his teachings. Otherwise, the problem is, if you start going by mundane morality, we'll start overcoming scriptural morality. The problem will come, end justifies the means. What is the end? The end which we think is beneficial. We'll start acting according to what we think is beneficial. Because our understanding is, yes, scriptural morality is only beneficial. But we have no right to understand, ascertain what is beneficial and not beneficial. We have only right to follow what is scripture. And follow the Mahajanas through scripture. I mean, follow scripture through the Mahajanas. That is our only right. Our right is not independently ascertained. What is beneficial, what is not beneficial. Because what we think is beneficial may be based on our own conditioning. And we may not be able to see the we are only thinking in terms of one life. We are not thinking in terms of future life. For example, we know that even in this instance where Vasudeva goes and hands his children, actually these children, the six children, were the sons of Brahma in their previous life, who blasphemed their father when he ran after his daughter. And for that, they were cursed to be killed as soon as they were born. So now, of course, we could say that Vasudeva did not know that, all that. But that's why I'm trying to establish the point that Dharma is very subtle. Vasudeva, we don't know what is the justification, what is the rationale that Vasudeva used. But whatever he was, whatever it was, he was a Mahajana. That's enough for us. So whatever he did is perfect. There's no need to try for us to analyze why it is right. Because unless there is an explanation why Vasudeva did what he did, we cannot sit and try to rationalize it. So the problem comes when we try to rationalize what is beneficial, what is unbeneficial. We simply have to follow the Acharya. The moment we start rationalizing what is beneficial and what is unbeneficial, then we end up into the trap of end justifies the means. So we start using all kinds of crazy means for the so-called end which is beneficial. And in the process, we'll throw the Krishna consciousness movement into chaos. We should be very careful that as Krishna conscious devotees, we should be very careful about maintaining our vows, maintaining our word. It is not that because it's there, whatever is beneficial, we should do, and therefore we can break a vow. It doesn't make sense like that. We have to be very careful that before we do something like that, we have to consult. We cannot afford to just use our own minds and try to rationalize something. We have to consult whom? That's another question. Consult your friend, consult your father, consult your mother. Whom to consult? Consult that person who is firmly established in following Prabhupada's teachings. That person, at least if you do it under his direction, even if the action is wrong, at least you're protected. Because you have done the right thing. Under the given circumstances, you have gone to someone who is firmly established in Prabhupada's teachings and tried to follow it. Therefore, you're protected. Otherwise, you're finished. Even though the action is wrong, just like sometimes in war, the soldiers are not held accountable for the mistakes of a commander. But the soldiers disobey the commander and start acting independently, obviously they are liable. So we don't have to worry so much. We have to worry only with the fact whether we are approaching a bona fide follower of Prabhupada who is strict. But whether the instruction that is coming from him is perfect or not, we don't have to worry about it. We have to worry about the fact that we have to consult. We have to do our part properly. Then Krishna takes care of it. That's it. So this is a very, one of the topics that I've thought about a lot in my life in Krishna consciousness. And this particular verse is directly referring to that, the word of Vasudeva. Actually, I had just one day to prepare because it was sudden notice. Our Padma Patra was sitting here, suddenly called me and said, can you give a class on Sunday? Then I thought, oh, why suddenly? Then I agreed. But when I saw the verse, I said, oh, wow. This is the verse that I always wanted to speak about. Okay, so the conclusion is very simple. That members of the Krishna consciousness movement, for us, the Mahajana is Prabhupada. So whatever we do, we should be very careful that it should not contradict anything that Prabhupada gave us. No matter what rational justifications we may have, no matter what arguments about time, place, circumstances we may have, we have to be very careful that we do not contradict or disobey our Founder Acharya. Thank you. Is there any comments or questions? Yes, Ron.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for a very enlivening and powerful presentation. I had a couple of questions I was wondering if I could ask. The first one is in relation to the scriptural reference you gave from the Bhagavatam, where it lists the different circumstances under which one is allowed to tell a falsehood.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could elaborate as to why, in those circumstances, it is not considered abominable to lie. Maybe, like, for example, livelihood, it talks about there, and in flattering a woman. And the second question I had, would you like to...
I think, yeah. Also, if there's someone else, a second question, go to them and then come back to you for the...
Yeah.
Okay. So, as I said, dharmattu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So, the codes of dharma are given by God. And Krishna himself quotes this principle. So, why it is so, like Prabhupada said, that just like, this is always Vedic literatures where you'll always have some exceptions. Usually Vedic literatures are not totalitarian, how they say, or it's not like, they'll always have some exceptions. Usually it's like that. So, Prabhupada said, the stool of an animal, if you touch, you have to take bath, but stool of an animal is purifying, the stool of a cow is purifying. You even use it in the deity worship, use it in deity worship. So there's an exception. So why, of course, now modern day research has established that cow dung is antiseptic. But let's say we didn't have the research. What means do we have? We simply had to accept the Vedic injunction. So like that, we may not always know why that injunction is given. So I don't know why that injunction is given. I mean, by common sense, it may appear, this is okay, fine. In killing a life, it is obvious. Saving someone's life, it is obvious. But then you notice that Vasudeva does not do that in the case of giving away his children. So even though that rule exists, Vasudeva is not trying to apply that. He's not trying to protect him. Something else he does. That's why it is said, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajana yenagatasya pantaha. So even though that rule exists, we don't see Vasudeva applying that rule. That is why the whole thing is complex. The Vedic morality is complex. And why those rules are given, nobody knows unless there's an explanation for it. The explanation is by scientists. That is just for them to be, okay, we don't accept it because scientists are saying it. We know it independently that it is beneficial. How it is beneficial, we don't know. But now the scientists are saying it is antiseptic, it is this, it is that. So we don't have to always know why something is said the way it is said. It is said because that is the Bhagavan by his Supreme Lord gives the codes of Dharma. So he has his own reason why those codes exist. We just have to follow the codes. If there is nobody else who has a question, then you can ask the next question. Yes, Manjari. I'll come back after her.
Hello, Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class. I have a practical question because Prabhu, you're doing so much nice service for Guru Maharaj Jai Pataka Swami.
Yeah.
And so with Rupa Nuga, so we're following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada is our, we'll say, Rupa Goswami is our Sampradaya Acharya.
Yeah.
And so we're following Prabhupada. We can't even get to Prabhupada. We have to go through the other Acharya. So I wanted to know in a practical way, how do we get the mercy of the current Acharya to follow them? Because you're getting so many blessings from Guru Maharaj. I want to know, how can we do that? How can we all get the mercy like that?
See, following Prabhupada means also following his instructions. So Prabhupada gives instruction that you should accept a bona fide spiritual master and follow his instruction. Okay. So following Prabhupada is not in isolation. Okay, Prabhupada, only you. Prabhupada means Prabhupada and his followers. It's not some isolated thing. And following Prabhupada means what? Following what is given in his books. And it's a very important instruction that one should accept initiation and follow the spiritual master. So following Prabhupada also means following that. Is that okay? Yeah. Now you cannot, that's why when we read Prabhupada's teachings, we had to accept all of his teachings. We cannot imagine what following Prabhupada means. What following Prabhupada means he either explains it. Follow the instructions in my books. So we cannot disregard this instruction. That's the mistake which the Ritviks do. That, see, the point is we have a direct relationship with Prabhupada, no doubt. But we also have a relationship through the Guru. So it's different flavors of the same relationship. Because Prabhupada, it says that Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for all ISKCON members. So we have a direct relationship. But just like, you have a direct relationship with your grandfather. Although your father is the one who begot you and things like that. But still you have a direct relationship. You interact with them directly. And at least in my life I've seen that. I've interacted with them directly. And I've listened from directly. I've listened, given, there are some instructions that he has given. Like that. But the point is that just because you have a direct relationship with Prabhupada does not mean that he is your Diksha Guru. Because Prabhupada says that, okay, I accept initiation. So you have a direct relationship with Prabhupada. You also have a direct relationship with, you also have a relationship with Prabhupada as his grand disciple. Both are there. Okay, I'll come back. I think it's 9 o'clock, so those who want to go can go, and the others can stay back for a little bit more time.
Hare Krishna. So, Prabhu, I have a doubt, but I don't know how to express. Still, I will try. Like, you said that it is very important to follow the instruction or examples of the Acharya. Like, you gave for present time, we have to follow Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
Or, since we are not directly, means physically Prabhupada is not here, so we have to consult whenever we are in a situation, doubtful situation, to those who are strictly following Prabhupada.
Yes.
Like, my doubt is that, you have given the class today and we have heard it, that okay, now we have to follow those who are strictly following Prabhupada teachings. But in practical, how will do that? What I want to ask that, since different living entities are conditioned in different level, so though we have so many people are here in this classroom, though we have heard you, but in my own life, sometimes I may be confused that, okay, this person is not following Srila Prabhupada, though in reality he is following, but because of my conditioning, I could not see that. In such situation, what to do?
No, it's... there is nothing called conditioning which comes when you read Prabhupada's books. The very nature of his books is that it breaks all your conditioning. So you cannot say, because of my conditioning, I cannot understand. It is because you have not read Prabhupada's books, you are not able to understand. It's not because of your conditioning while reading Prabhupada's books. There's nothing called conditioning while reading Prabhupada's books. Conditioning is a separate thing. When you read Prabhupada's books, your conditioning goes away. Then you understand what is what. So there's nothing called conditioning while reading Prabhupada's books. Conditioning is a separate thing. Because of your conditioning, you have not read all of Prabhupada's instruction. That could be true. You have to forget the conditioning and read all of his instructions first. When you read all of his instruction, then your conditioning goes away. Then your reference for life will become his teaching, instructions. Then the question can come, among Prabhupada's followers, who's following strictly, not following strictly, this kind of confusion can come. The point is very simple. One simple way of identifying a strict follower of Prabhupada is very simple. That there is no such follower of Prabhupada who does not study his books. Suppose you find a follower of Prabhupada who is not studying his books. Something's wrong with that follower. It's a complete, oxymoron. A follower of Prabhupada does not read his books. There's no such thing as such a follower of Prabhupada does not read his books. Okay, so first of all, he has read his books. Now, and he may be practicing. Now, suppose from your reading, you find that there are some things that he's not following or some things that he's short of. You should not have to go and ask him. He should be so transparent himself that he should say, I am trying to follow Prabhupada, but in these areas, I am short. The person who is strict follower of Prabhupada is always accountable to Prabhupada. This is the definition. So it is not very complicated. So you don't have to worry, is he following all the instructions or not following all the instructions? The point is he accountable to Prabhupada? This is the question that you have to ask. So suppose you find a follower of Prabhupada. As long as that follower is accountable to Prabhupada by saying, by himself, you don't have to go and ask him, Prabhu, I didn't see you at Mangalarti today, or I didn't do this, I didn't see you this. You don't have to worry about all these things. That person himself will tell you, I am so fallen, I did not come to Mangalarti today, I did not follow Prabhupada's instruction. This is a symptom of a real follower, or whatever. So whenever he goes outside Prabhupada's teachings, he himself will say it. Such a follower he can follow, because he's completely accountable to Prabhupada. Is that okay? Yes, please.
I think you kind of tapped upon what I was going to ask, because it was in relation, you were making the point that we accept whatever the acharya or something like that. I think my question was, We see that many times people have accepted whatever has been told, but then eventually it became apparent that a person was not following. So where do we draw the line? I think you kind of touched
upon. No, I didn't. It's a good question. I was thinking that nobody asked that particular thing yet. So since you asked it, I'll address that. Now, according to our Krishna conscious philosophy, you are supposed to use your intelligence to surrender. We are supposed to use our intelligence to surrender. We are not surrendering our intelligence, actually. You're using our intelligence to surrender. Now, normally, for example, we all live in, many of us live in ISKCON or whatever, we come to temple. Well, coming to the temple or living a daily life, how often do we think about the boundary of ISKCON? We hardly think about it. It's not even a significant parameter in our consciousness. We're just enjoying whatever is going on. But the moment you're riding a bike or something and you go almost graze the boundary wall, hey, this is boundary. I'm very close to the boundary. Right? So like that, when we follow an authority, we generally follow. Except when we come towards the boundaries, then we have to be careful. Because in the history of the Krishna consciousness movement, we have seen that sometimes when powerful gurus left the movement, it affected the movement very badly. Because their followers just followed them blindly. That is called fanatical following. So when you follow Prabhupada's teachings, it also means that if an authority is doing something which is contradictory to Prabhupada's teachings, it is your duty to first go and clarify. How is this in line with Prabhupada's teaching? In a very humble manner. How is this in line with Prabhupada's teachings? And if the explanation does not conform to Prabhupada's teachings, you're not supposed to accept it blindly. Then ask other followers of Prabhupada, this problem I have with my authority. Even it can be your guru also, so what? You have to still take the responsibility and going to ask somebody else that this particular instruction of Prabhupada, this authority is not following. What do? I can ask him this thing and this is the reply I got. What do I do? So it becomes our responsibility that we should be careful. That's why I think that, I've been thinking several times why over the last several years, why Prabhupada said books are the basis. Basis means without that nothing exists. So basis means this is the basis of our life. Our basis of our life is his books. This is his instruction. How to practice pure devotional service is given in his books. So we have to study them thoroughly. If we study them thoroughly, at least we know that something may be wrong or not wrong. Otherwise we won't even know. And for that the fault is ours fault because you've not done it. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.